This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Joining us now on the Ben and Skin Show is the new manager of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
Hey, we're doing wonderful. Thanks so much for taking the time to jump on with us now. Want to know, this is such an honor for us, first time to have you on our show. What was it? What was the thing that made you say, yes, the Rangers are right for me, I want that job?
Honestly, it was the shared vision, I guess. You know, I talked to JD quite a bit in the playoffs. And then when I got a chance to come here and interview in person, I kind of told him that I was interviewing him just as much as he was interviewing me. Now, obviously, he's giving me the job. I'm not giving him the job. But it was really nice for me to feel and hear the basically we share the same vision in moving this thing forward. And, you know, it's really difficult to accomplish that when you don't have that backing from the top. And just hearing all the stories of guys that played here, you know, I talked to Michael Young. I talked to all these guys that, you know, spent time with JD and his group, and they all share the same kind of sentiment that it's a family. They got your back. They care about people. And those are things that I value more than anything. And the only way this thing is going to move forward is if we both have a shared vision, and I feel like we do.
Okay, so I know that's a very nuanced kind of sprawling thing, but baseball-wise, what would you say is a similar vision that you and then JD and the front office guys sort of share in terms of how you would articulate what kind of baseball you're going to be playing?
Aggressive. I think that, you know, we're going to use, you know, things that at our disposal when we talk about information, we talk about getting our players to buy into this stuff. But at the end of the day, it's about how we compete on the baseball field. You know, we want to arm them with as much, you know, ammo as they can take out there with them. But in the end, knowing that when they go head-to-head with teams, like, we are going to play aggressive. We're going to play in your face. Like, these guys want to play that way. They enjoy playing that way. They play well that way. We're going to take kind of the reins off of them and say, you know, as long as they go out there with a plan and they're prepared, the bottom line is how we compete is everything. So it's been a joy for me to sit and talk to Joey and talk to Delino, talk to Elvis, talk to all these guys. You know, they have a passion for playing this game a certain way, and I think that I'm going to allow that to happen, and our staff's going to really put some things behind them that help them, maybe give them a little bit better chance to succeed based on the information. I think at the end of the day, they're going to love it.
So how do you, you know, baseball is such a unique sport with 162 games. It's absolute grind. It's a marathon. And so how do you ride that line of when do you, you know, I don't know, for lack of a better term, get in a guy's face, and when do you just back off and, you know, make sure that he knows you love him? You know, it's when are you grinding and when are you?
Well, I think there is a fine line between doing both, but the only thing I'm going to demand of players is, like I said, that they prepare. So when they, before the game, they're making sure that their technique is, you know, sound. They're doing all the things in the cage that they need to do, and that they come up with a game plan. And like I said, if they compete and they go out there and they prove that, you know, I've already told Joey this, if you go out there and execute that game plan, I can't say anything bad to you. I can't have a negative response because you've followed your process. Now, if one of those things aren't checked, now we got an issue. If they're not prepared, or they don't have a game plan, or they don't complete or compete out there, they don't run out of ball, they don't, you know, they're not anticipating on defense, like, those things we will address, you know, not in a negative way, but just you need to get better. And I think that's the biggest thing, you know, moving forward with a young group. We just had meetings all day with our entire staff talking about that. We want to maximize every single player we have on the team, every single person in the organization, you know, for that matter. And, you know, when you do those things, guys are going to come into that atmosphere knowing that they're expected to get better. The expectations, the standards are pretty high, knowing that we're going to fail at times and we're going to love them through those failures as long as they take care of the things we ask of and they stick to their process and they're not results, you know, oriented, because I'm not a results guy. I know the results will come when we stick to our process, and, you know, I want them to fall in love with that idea. And if they do, we're going to be in good shape, because most of the league chases results.
You may not.
I was a player. I know how that feels.
Okay, that's where I wanted to go. And you may not feel this way, but I feel like the overall perception of a baseball manager has changed a lot in the last 5 or 6 years. And I almost feel like the way I look at it now in this off base, but it's almost like a manager is like the ultimate veteran leader on the team. Like the way you even interact with younger guys and the way you coach guys, I feel like there's some shift in the last 5 or 6 years where managers are just viewed differently now approach-wise. You think no, or you think it's like it's always been?
I think it's the good ones have always had that perception, I think. You know, the good ones I always had, Bobby Cox was on another level. He was still approachable. Mm-hmm. I talked to him, you know, about my kids. I talked, you know, we had a personal relationship. Now, there's obviously a line.
Right.
You know, as a coach, since I started coaching in Seattle and then in L.A., I never crossed that line. But at the same time, I had deep personal relationships with players. You know what I mean? And I didn't think that was, you know, it shouldn't happen. You know, a lot of people in baseball or in sports, they think that there's, hey, you got to make sure you let them know. They know.
Right.
I write their name in the lineup. They know that, you know, I mean, we're not going to be buddy-buddy and go have beers and, you know, I mean, that kind of deal. So it's, you know, there is a line that you can't cross. But at the same time, I need to know these guys. I need to know what makes them tick. I need to know what motivates them and how they can perform better, because we have a lot of people in place in the organization that can help them in every way, you know, whether it's a mental thing, whether it's a physical thing, a biomechanical thing. There's so many ways now that we can help our guys. I want them to understand that and know that we're there for them and that they can get through some of these struggles, like I said, with a proper process in place.
Man, this is awesome. We are talking to Rangers new manager Chris Woodward on 105.3 The Fan. And, you know, during your first press conference, and we first started hearing things about you, knowing that you had a relationship with Michael Young since you guys were kids, we're fascinated by that. We love Michael Young. We obviously have been Ranger fans here, grew up here. And then getting to know him outside of baseball is even better, because he's even a better person than he is a baseball player, which is hard to say. So that said, tell us about the first Michael Young is a God story that you have.
Oh, gosh.
How old?
Do I have to?
You have to.
He's probably listening right now, too. No, he was, I would say, 8 steps ahead of everybody else growing up. You know, he was basically my size, looked the same, but played a lot higher level. All the way since, ever since I remember, since I was playing Little League, I remember his name. You know, I don't think he played in my Little League because he was too good and he was playing in some elite level league, or I don't know.
Playing with 16-year-olds.
Yes, probably. But he was on another level than everybody else. And, you know, I was just happy that I got to the big leagues before him. And, you know, that was kind of my claim to fame,
right,
especially in my hometown. But tremendous human being, tremendous player. I really hope he, you know, comes around a lot more and shares some of his ideas and stories with our players, because, you know, it's a valuable tool to have, you know, for a guy who's so good in this ballpark and in this, you know, in this organization. Yeah. It'd be great to have him around.
You may not know this now, but do you know he's got a fear of clowns? Like, did you know
I
that as a
that.
Kid?
Somebody told me that.
That wasn't a deal when you guys were like 13, hey, there's the weird clown guy?
God, I wish I'd have known that.
Right, you could have used it against him.
Yeah, because we played against each other a couple times. He played on, like I said, this elite team where I was on the Covina team, and he, you know, sold out and went to this West Covina team. And we actually beat him a couple times, and they didn't like that because they were the cream of the crop, and yeah. We were just some, you know, raggedy old crew from Covina.
I think he's like a black belt now, so don't use that card now.
I might get a throat punch at some point.
All right, so what are you into outside of baseball? I know baseball's massive, and you really don't have time for much else, and you've got a family. But, like, when you want to enjoy some pop culture, is there a TV show, a movie, is there music? What are you into?
I do like, you know, my wife and I have, you know, we don't get enough time to watch stuff, but we like anything that makes you think, I guess. You know, there's a couple of really good, you know, series out now that really kind of get your mind going. I do like thrillers. I'm not a big horror guy, but the comedy stuff I do like. Depends on the, you know, if I'm laying around in a good mood.
Yeah.
You know, I like it. But I really have gotten to the point where now it's kind of boring. I really like spend time with the kids and just try to make myself a little more knowledgeable in ways. Now that I'm obviously in this job, you know, I'm always trying to elevate our players' minds, so I got to do the same.
How old are the kids?
I got a 16-year-old daughter, junior in high school, and then my two boys are 11 and 9.
Are they into baseball?
Yeah, my 9-year-old is. My 11-year-old played for a couple years and gave me the, "Dad, I don't really like baseball." So I said, hey.
Find your thing.
Yeah, he wants to be a chef. I'm fully supportive of that.
Cool.
Yeah. awesome. You know, I said, hey, it's easier for me because I don't have the.
There you go.
Right.
I've dealt with a lot of this with youth sports, and I want to write a book. I probably should have read the book about 5 years ago, but don't be an a-hole at your kid's youth baseball game.
Yes.
You know, you just see so much of it, or any youth sporting event, and dad's yelling. So what is your approach when it comes to youth sports?
I think a lot of times the youth sports parents haven't gone through what I've gone through in the game, so there's no perspective, and they look at their kid as being the one to go to the top, right? And, yeah, they might be right, but they're not setting their kids up for future success. They're hoping that they have a great game today, meaning that they're willing to sacrifice basically the rest of their future for the one game today. And I just want parents to understand, like, this is a process, and because they're good today doesn't mean they're going to be the best player in baseball tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
It takes time to develop this, and if you develop it right, they're going to have a chance to get through the struggles that this game is going to create, because I don't care who you are, as good of a player, you're a Hall of Famer, you can ask Michael Young, who was a great player. He dealt with struggles in his life. You know, not till he got to pro ball, because he never failed when I saw him. But there are failures there, and they have to deal with those things. And the more you prepare your kids for that, the better they're going to get through it later on.
Awesome stuff. Hey, can we call you Woody?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, Woody. It's official. He's Woody.
Hey, Woody, I'm Skin. Isn't that weird?
Yeah,
thank you so much for your time.
My guy.
Really appreciate it. There he goes, the manager of the Texas Rangers, Chris Woodward. Woody.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.